Hello, this is Johnny Beaner. I am a hilarious comedian, and you are listening to Christopher Olsen's podcast, You Don't Say, coming to you live from the basement in Silence of the Lambs. It truly is the Breakfast of Champions.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the You Don't Say podcast. I'm your gracious host, as always, Christopher Olsen. Thank you for the listens, the downloads, the shares, the goodness, the tweets, the retweets, the subtweets, the hate tweets. I even take hate tweets. I don't care. A tweet is a tweet. A like is a like. A share is a share. So keep doing what you're doing, people. Keep sharing. Keep up the good word. Spreading the good word, and much appreciated. It's been a bit, and it's been a while because I've been busy. Had some irons in the fire. It is the midst of summer 2016, if you're listening to this years later. What the hell? This is it's always good to go back. It's always good to listen to good material, good episodes, things of that nature. I had a chance to sit down with a comedian, Travis Nelson. Travis is just happened to be in town of my home club, Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton, Wisconsin, and Travis jumped on a show I was a part of on Thursday, previous to this recording, at the wonderful Green Room Lounge, the Laugh Box Comedy Show on Thursday nights at the Green Room Lounge in De Pere, Wisconsin, and we just had a small little chat during our show, more so after the show, I guess. And then we ran into each other as I had sort of caught the show. Our good friend, a friend of the show, our good buddy Crane's Butter, was headlining at the Skyline Comedy Cafe over the course of that week. So Travis was featuring, which is pretty cool. A great lineup. Liz Ziner was hosting. Greg Willett did a set. And Travis and Crane. So got to talking and a little bit of chat after show, and said, hey, what are you doing Saturday pre-show? And he said, Travis said, not a whole lot. Might be going for a walk. Try to stretch out my legs. Been driving a lot. But hey, love to sit down and talk comedy. So that's exactly what happened. Travis came down to the studio. The studio. That's I like to call it the studio. It is a studio, by God. That's what it is. But no, Travis came over. And again, as I said, Travis from Seattle. But he's doing really, it's really about like a 3-4 month, pretty much tour in a sense of the country. Heading himself to Louisville, Tennessee, then south as he's made his way, then as he will make his way rather, back to his home area of Seattle, Washington, which will be probably sometime, as it appears, sometime in August. So pretty cool. But Travis and I talk about kind of how he got started, more or less his home club, clubs he loves playing in the Pacific Northwest, a couple of people that he knows there. We talk about people that we've worked with. Individuals that we find as you work different places, there's certain individuals that remind you of the individuals sort of say like back at your home club. It's pretty cool. And talk about Travis's degree. His college degree is in biochemistry, which is really cool. And talks about how he just loves doing stand up. He's been at it quite a while. And it was a really interesting chat, so I was really lucky to land Travis. Listen in, you can catch Travis's website as well as his Twitter handle. I believe it's Travis is Joking, also on Instagram. So check those out as to where he's going to be and catch him here over. If you're listening to this now, you got some time, people. Get out there, people. Check him out. He's going to be in Chicago. He's going to be in Tennessee. Let's see, that was Nashville he's going to be in, then in and around Texas, maybe something Wyoming, Idaho, it seems, Salt Lake City, a couple of things coming up here throughout the rest of the summer. So, great, it was really great. It just, I guess as, you know, if you've listened to previous episodes, there's some individuals I've known for a while, we sit down again, it's nice to catch up, but it's always great just sort of running into someone you have comedy in common with, and then actually a lot more in common with than you realize, and you just sit down, turn the mics on, and just talk about life, which is pretty much exactly what happened. So, had a blast. talking to Travis. So again, many thanks for the listens. Please pump this out. This is a great episode. Give Travis all of your loves and your likes. He's a great dude. Wonderful, wonderful dude. And many thanks and congrats to Crane's Butter for his headline spot. Great to see Liz Ziner again. And Greg Willett. I did a show, the Thursday show with Greg, and a little show, with a part of the Wiz Up show on Saturday night of that particular week, or pardon me, Friday night of that week. We had a good time, so many thanks to those folks. You can check out OlsenComedy.com, as you always should be doing, whether you're listening to this podcast on OlsenComedy.com. Go to appearances, you can see where I'm going to be. I've got a couple of dates that are filling up here now through the end of 2016, and starting to iron out a couple of things for 2017, actually. Just poking around at different things that locations that may work, shows that are going to be cooking. So hopefully you hit that. Check out iTunes, the You Don't Say podcast there, of course, and share with your friends, as always. So I appreciate your listens, and without further ado, my conversation, and a dandy one at that. Hope you enjoy as much as I did my conversation with Travis Nelson. Enjoy.
Throw right there.
No, like I said, there's nothing ever really. This is no fancy operation. So.
No, yeah.
But well, now we are. So.
Oh, we're recording now.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
So you live in Seattle or
yeah,
near
yeah,
Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah, Seattle.
Okay. Where did you grow up near Seattle then or?
No, I actually grew up, I went to high school on the peninsula at a town called Hoquiam, Washington, which is right, Aberdeen, Hoquiam.
Okay.
Are like the same, that's where Kurt Cobain's from, so that's all it's known for.
Right.
It's just a ridiculous logging area.
Yeah.
The peninsula in Washington's kind of its own weird place.
Yeah.
But I grew up there, and then I went to college up in Bellingham, which is where there's a lot of improv stuff up mm-hmm. there. That's where Ryan Stiles is at.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually made my way back down to Seattle.
Okay. Huh. So, like, at that point, then, I guess, how did you just sort of get, like, the bug or sort of started of, like, I want to do stand-up?
Right. I don't know.
Was it improv first?
Or? I think I had the bug forever. It was just dormant. Because growing up, I was always, like, I was just drawn to, like, silly shit. I was always, like, any kind of comedy I was obsessed with. But I always grew up like in the middle of nowhere, small towns. There was no kind of performing arts or anything.
Right.
I didn't think you could just do it. And then I went to college, and there was like sketch comedy groups and a lot of improv. And I tried the improv. I didn't really like it. The sketch comedy, I kind of liked it. But then it was, you have so little control over the final product in sketch. And then I just wound up going to a comedy show, and everyone was my age, and I realized, like, oh, you can just get up on stage and do this.
Right.
And from that point on, that's all it was. I mean, oh, my God, immediate gratification. You tell a joke, you get a laugh. And, of course, the opposite. You tell a joke, you eat it.
Right.
But it's all on you, so it's kind of fun.
No, it's I guess our stories outside of, I believe, our age are quite different. But, yeah, I grew up in a real small town and was always sort of like class clowny, but was always drawn to – so, I mean, I grew up in the 80s for the most part, like 80s and like early 90s. But I was always drawn to The Tonight Show, always drawn to Letterman, always like Evening at the Improv, anything stand-up related. And it was just like something that like my dad and I just sort of kind of had in common. Like it was just this relaxing point to, you know, just sort of kick back and laugh. So I always had the bug, and I think it was like suppressed by just, I suppose, life decisions I made. I mean, I got married pretty early, had kids pretty early. That didn't iron out as I originally wanted. But then, really, I guess I've told this story a couple of times just myself. I was just seeking just, not like psychological help, but just like, how do you get through this stuff? So I started journaling. Well, then I was sort of reading back like several months later of what I was writing, and it was actually pretty good. And my sister is, she's an English teacher at it's essentially like a community college. And she was reading some of it. She said, this is really good. So I sort of adapted it and brought it one or two stories to an open mic once, and then I was just hooked. And I guess that's really just like the synopsis of kind of how it started, but very much the same. It was always there. I just never acted upon it. So it's like, I don't know, I guess it's like the alcoholic who doesn't know it and then has their first drink. I don't know. I guess
that's
the only way I can explain it.
I totally get what you mean, because once you start doing it, you're just hooked on it. Like, it's
right.
Like, oh my God, yeah, this is what I've been looking for.
This exact
thing.
Yeah.
This is what I've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
I can just go out and do it. It's just such like a pure thing.
Right, right.
It's great.
No, and I found now, like, if I go a while without doing it, there's this withdrawal.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? And, Thursday night was my first time with a mic in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And it was like back to almost, 3 years ago. The mic was shaking in my hand Thursday night. But 2 weeks, what do you do with 2 weeks, you know? I mean, I had a couple of new bits, but, so what? It's, you gotta feed the dragon, I guess, or chase or whatever. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. If I'm on the road, especially if I'm doing longer sets, I don't get that urge as much.
Yeah,
I
could see that.
I try to get up on my off nights, but it's like if I'm doing a lot of driving, a lot of times I just want to crash and sleep.
Yeah.
But if I'm back home and I mean, that's all I do. I need to go up six, seven
sure.
nights a week just because there's that much stage time in Seattle. And,
which is really cool. Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible. It's amazing. It's a great... I'm not privy to a lot of scenes, but I think Seattle, if you use the stage time right, it's one of the best places to go to kind of build an act.
Yeah.
Because you have all kinds of audiences. And if you're willing to do the work, it's all there for you.
Yeah. And now you've been you're then a regular, like Tacoma and then Spokane, I should say?
The Spokane one just opened.
Okay.
I had my first weekend there on my way out here in June.
Yeah.
Which is great. I get to work with Brad Upton, who's a killer from Seattle. He's one of my favorite comics.
I know the name,
He comes out here. He does, I don't know exactly what he does. I know he works a lot. But,
sure.
So there's the Seattle Comedy Underground. So that's downtown Seattle. There's the Tacoma Comedy Club, which is about 30 minutes south.
Mm-hmm.
There's Parlor Live in Bellevue. My home club was Laugh's Comedy Spot, which was... in Kirkland. It was like my favorite club.
Sure.
And they actually just moved it. So right now they're in process of moving it over to not downtown, but the U District in Seattle. So they're opening it again at where an old club called Giggles used to be.
Okay.
That's a kind of a infamous club is Giggles. And then they turned it into a Jiggles strip club. That got shut down. It became a Pasties bar. And I used to have to, I'd have to go to the Pasties bar to get paid for like some road gigs. And it was just the weirdest, saddest. But they, and the guys I was with are always bummed out because, like, they came up in Giggles and, like, there were so many memories there. And they're walking around, like, that's where I saw Bill Burr receive the call that he didn't get his show got canceled. And, like, there's all these memories and, these 18-year-old girls walking around with their tits out with, like, weird stickers over them, like, what's up? they don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. But, no, they're finally I'm really excited about it. The owners of Laughs are great, and they teamed up, and they're going in, and they've been renovating it. So, actually, I think right when I get home, I might get home just right before their initial opening, but I'm very
excited. Grand opening or something. Okay, cool.
Because Yeah, I'm not going to get ahead of myself because it's all up in the air right now, but I think it's going to be a really fun club.
I would think. I mean, especially with the following it sort of has. And with the regulars, I guess you sort of have to that place. That adds, that's a major key because, they'll kick the place off pretty well. And if you've got a community that's open-armed to it, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and they just do a great job of, booking, even up at Kirkland, it's the funniest thing because I worked with so many comics there, and then once they start working the road, it's just the same comics. They just book the guys that do the work that are like just good, nice people to be around.
Yeah.
So it's one of the reasons I've been able to work the road as much as I have is because I just have those connections. I meet those people, and then I'm calling a favor here or there.
Right. Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
This is a hell of a road trip for you, quite frankly. So you started in June, was it?
Yeah, so
I don't know why
started,
my voice just did that.
It's because you've been talking to me, and I just—I'm a sound guy's nightmare. My voice fluctuates all over the place.
I disagree.
I left. It was like the 14th or 15th of June. I left.
Okay.
And at that point, my buddy Chase Myers moved up from Louisiana, took over my place. And then I moved my stuff into storage. And I was just doing road gigs. And then I popped out and I did Spokane. From there, I did Great Falls, Montana. I did Fargo. I did a cool casino in Danbury, Wisconsin, actually, with Tommy Ryman.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a blast. I love working with Tommy. I met him in Calgary.
He's in town here next week, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm bummed. I'm just going to miss him. But he's one of my favorite comics.
Yeah, yeah.
He's such a funny guy. Yeah, but then I got to drop down and do Zanies in Chicago, and I did Funny Bone in Omaha, and then I got to go actually try out in Columbus.
Okay.
At the main Funny Bone there, meet with Dave Stroop and everybody, and it was just such a really cool experience. It's such a huge club. It's like 420 seats, and it was a Thursday. Okay. They packed it out. It was me. There was a guy named... I'm going to mess it up. I think it's Tyler T. from Alabama. And okay. Then it was Brian Herberger from New York originally, but I think now he lives in North Carolina. But
okay.
It was the three of us showcasing, and everyone had like a great set, and it was just, it was awesome. And I got to go up first, which I was really excited about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. It's like my favorite. I love to be like right after the host. I mean, just that feature spot is my, that's what I always joke that, you know, the hosting and the headlining, that's the tough part. The feature, that's the like the most beautiful
thing
in the
world. Oh, that's the gravy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you just pop in like, hey, a little bit of me, huh? And then you can just wander off like it's great.
Isn't that the truth? Because it's just you're on autopilot until you go on, and then you're on, and then it's just you know, free reign after that. You've got no other pressure.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially if you're doing a club weekend, I love it because. I mean, if it's a club back home, it's great to kind of like, you know, the late shows, I can kind of tease out the new stuff I'm doing. But when I'm on the road, I'm only going to be doing, you know, I want to make a good impression. So it's all the hits, but they're only asking you to do like, oh, can you do like, you know, 20, 25 minutes, which you're used to doing like at least 30 on the road. So you're just like,
sure.
Oh, yeah, let's do the hits. And you just get up there and literally there's no planning and write anything down and just get up there and like, let's see what they're like feeling. Yeah. Let's do these jokes and that joke. And I'm always sad when I end because I'm like, I didn't get to do everything I wanted.
Right.
And the crowd at the Skyline was amazing.
That crowd, you guys had a hell of a nice crowd. That was
wonderful.
I mean, the crowds here, I'm going to, you know, play Homer in that they're very comedy receptive. They know their shit. They come to the club, and it's almost sort of an anomaly. And Cliff has even sort of admitted to this. Yeah, it's 20. This will be his 22nd year.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make a pile of sense that a greatly successful club has been in Appleton. Just for this longevity of time. And Cliff has talked to me about just the peaks and valleys of the business side of it. But save everyone, there is something to say about the residents, the community that comes in, even folks that are out of town find out, oh, there's a club in town. Well, let's go do that because, you know, our stuff is during the day, or we've sightseen, visited the relatives, and then let's go do this, what have you. So, but no, I think it's an interesting factor to where you've got a club with any room for that matter with a very good receptive audience is huge, but that crowd last night was pretty cool. It was neat to see.
Yeah,
I'm glad you were able to experience it because that's normal. I will boast that's what it's like. And that's what it's like a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the place so amazing. So
I always before you actually go out and work, and a lot of people, the headliners, talk about the differences. You perform in different places, and they always say like the Midwest, that everyone loves working in the Midwest because everyone's so receptive, and there's so much comedy out here all the time that people, and it's 100% true. My God, I haven't done a bad club out here. Like, it's all just like every weekend I'm just ecstatic. Like, this is awesome. This is amazing. It's not that Seattle has bad crowds, but there are, I think, especially if you're performing in downtown Seattle, I don't know what it is exactly, but I would say it's definitely a lot tighter.
Sure.
There's a lot more pressure to be, I don't know what it is. You just really have to be like on the ball. You have to be really, and you see, you know, I've seen really, really funny people just have, okay sets just because, and there's no other, you know, I've been doing it long enough. I'm like, there's no other factor. Like, it's just the audience that you get.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, I grew up with those audiences. I love them, and I'm glad I got to work with them because then I come out and I do just, you know, every other room. And I'm like, oh, you guys are, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's nice.
But I've found myself, too, you know, if I'm able to work here at home, which is a couple times a year, it's phenomenal because it's just, I mean, I'm, you know, whatever, I'm 3 miles from the club. Yeah, you know, I'll have friends stop by to, you know, sort of see the show. But anything within, like, the Midwest, it's pretty much, quite frankly, I mean, the same. I mean, it's the same. It's really the same people. I mean, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan. I mean, they're all kind of the same. They're all wired the same.
Yeah.
They're there for the same reason, and they're receptive. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting to hear then. And, I've talked to a lot of people that, you know, say larger cities, larger communities. Milwaukee, I'll lob that out. That is a really kick-ass scene right now.
Oh, man.
It's phenomenal, and it's awesome.
I joke that my favorite, probably 60% of, like, my favorite headliners are all from Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah. Like, okay. My favorite people to work, and it always, and I never even know that they're, like, from there until I look into it.
Really?
I just
okay.
work with people. I'm like, God, yeah, I really like them.
Like who?
Well, not necessarily Milwaukee, but, like, around Milwaukee, probably.
Sure.
I love working with Shane Moss,
oh, God,
Steve
yeah,
Gillespie.
Yeah.
I've worked with a few times recently.
Yeah.
Jackie Cation I've gotten to work with,
so good,
who is amazing and so much fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to name any more off the top.
No,
of
I was just
head.
Curious.
Oh, yeah, Chad Daniels. I've never officially worked with him, but I always try to see him when he's in town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's really funny.
Pete Lee's from Janesville. Yeah.
Pete Lee's great, too.
I was just telling my mother a story about Pete Lee this morning. This is funny. But anyway, I was just so ironic you brought him. But no, Pete came into town once. I can't say enough about the guy. He's just so personable. He's just so laid back, just wants to know, hey, hey, how you doing? And and then what's funny is he comes back, and I think that's when I popped in to see the show. And a dude like, oh, yeah, I remember you from a couple of months ago. Oh, for God's sake, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a Wisconsin guy, but he's great to talk to. He's just amazing.
It's always a trip when you watch people and you're just, you know, you've got a comedy crush on him. You're like, this person's amazing. And you just love him so much. And then, you know, a couple months later, you see him again. You're like, hey, you probably don't remember me. Like, yeah, I do. We work together.
That's exactly
like, oh,
what happened
God.
With Pete Lee. That was exactly
you remember me.
he came into town.
Yeah.
He asked Cliff if he could do, like, a 30-minute set that he wanted to record to use as for a special.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to, like, lob on a special, but he said, you know, the sound here is great, the crowd here is going to be great. Can I get the time? Was it a Friday? Yeah, I think it was a Friday. It had to be a Friday because Saturday was a normal show. Anyway, so he took the feature spot, and I was emceeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to bring up Pete Lee. And then he had to go, like, immediately after because he had, like, another local college gig. But it was just – he just knew that was going to be the better room to knock that out. So it was several months later, probably even, like, 7 or 8, and he comes back for a full week, and I popped into the show, and I said, hey, it was after the show. Hey, I don't know if you remember me.
Yeah.
Almost verbatim what you just said.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You brought me up when I was here recording for the special. Holy shit, this is really cool. So then, of course, we talked for, like, half an hour.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten in. He was a little tired and so forth. And then I had some other stuff going on through the weekend. But, yeah, Pete's great. Shane is amazing. Shane's an amazing dude. He gets here about once a year. But he's originally from La Crosse, Wisconsin, which is just south of where my dad lives. So it's always great talking to Shane because we can tell the same stories of, like, the same little town that he grew up in. So it's just really neat.
You ever listen to his podcast?
Yeah.
Here We Are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
Really great. And the people that he talks to is just amazing. You know, mm-hmm. these various doctors and things like that are just they're just amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I got a degree in biochemistry in school.
Really?
Yeah. Which,
holy cow!
I know. I was going to be an English major.
Okay.
And then I chased after. I got it into my head that I needed to do this for some reason,
sure.
Which sucked because I came from, like, a very crappy. It's not, you know, it was just an underfunded school system, I think. So
okay. Sure.
The math was there. I just didn't pay attention to the math,
and
the science was terrible. So I didn't know anything. So I literally had to take, like, all these, like, 101 science classes, and
sure.
It was just something I thought I had to do. And then it took me, like, 5 years, and I finally got the degree, and, of course, I became a comedian right after. So that's but that's why I like that podcast, is because you know, it's someone who is, you know, Shane is great. I know him. I like him. He's really funny.
Yeah.
And then it's him talking very eloquently with, like, you know, intelligent people about, you know, I don't get all the science because he does a lot. He's really into, like, neurology, and mm-hmm. I don't know much about that. But
right.
It's really just, it's fun to listen to. It's kind of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, and I listen to quite a few podcasts, but that's one I go to just to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Another one is, I guess we'll name drop all we want here. Ryan Singer has one that's about, like, paranoia.
Paranormal You and Me or something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, my God.
You
that's
and Paranormal, something like that.
Yeah. Man, the full name is slipping me, but that is some amazing shit.
I just saw him at Go Bananas last weekend, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I was going through.
Wow, okay.
I showcased in Columbus, and I was supposed to do Snickers, but they shut down over the summer. So then I just wound up going to – I watched a show at Go Bananas on Friday, and it was Ryan Singer.
Okay.
I forget who was opening for him, but that dude was amazing too.
Nice, okay.
And then – I went and I did. I keep putting this out of my mind. I did a show. I did a guy's 50th birthday party in his basement.
Hey!
I got booked to do this. And it was. I was completely like, I called my friends. I'm like, if you don't see me for a while, here's the guy's address.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. It was so much fun. I showed up. Everyone was so nice. It was in Kentucky. They had, like, a bunch of barbecue.
Wow.
Everyone was drunk, but they're happy. They're having fun. And then we all went down to the basement, and it was just, like, 20 of his friends and family.
Yeah.
And then just got, like, semicircle in front of me. I'd a cappella, no microphone, just, like, start goofing around with them.
Like, give
them
a
laugh.
TED talk to, like, about 20 people.
Man, I'll tell you what. It was interesting,
awesome.
Though.
Awesome.
Yeah, it went – because I went from Columbus, which is, like, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the nation, and just having a great set there.
Right.
And then, you know, it's prototypical just what stand-up is, and then I wind up in a guy's basement, like, the next night performing for 20 people. And, you know, it was – the weird thing was it was almost just as fun. Like,
sure.
Because it's just – it's a different – completely – it's almost a completely different thing. But if it goes well, it's just the most – I mean, if it went bad, it would have been horrible.
Really bad,
that's what
yeah.
I told everyone afterwards. Like, hey, that was fun. I'm like, yeah, that could have been so weird. Do you realize how bad that could have been? Like, now that it's over, I can tell you this. This could have been catastrophic.
You could have not been found. That's even,
yeah, exactly.
Throw that additive in there.
I'm glad you're nice people.
Well, glad they loosened up, you know, and they were kind. That's good.
What made a huge difference was, I guess, because I've gone and done that stuff where, like, they didn't even know that anyone, you know, it was just someone randomly, like, hired a comedian, sent him in, and then everyone there is like, we didn't know there was going to be a comic. What the mm-hmm. hell is happening?
Exactly.
But this one, they had actually looked me up online. The booker had sent them a couple videos, and they picked mine out, so they actually watched a bunch of my videos. They liked me.
That's cool.
Yeah, because it's like you already come in, and they already think you're funny, so you don't have to that's the hardest part about doing stand-up in the first place, is just gaining that trust of the audience of, like, okay, this guy's funny. I'm in. I'll listen.
Right.
I'll suspend my disbelief, and we'll have some fun. So anytime they've, like, already looked you up, and they're excited about it, that's always nice, especially that they – obviously didn't find all my videos online, because there are some really bad ones. In
that's another thing, though, too, to where you go back to, like, the early stuff, and for whatever it's worth, you look at or even just a bad set that for whatever reason is published.
Yeah.
Whether you put it up or someone else did, you got to get that down. Once you've gotten better, you got to take the old shit down. I mean, I don't know, at least that's what I've found myself doing. Oh, my God, that's just awful. So now, that was a much tighter set. That one's got to stay.
What's crazy is, so when I was first starting, I was, you know, 19, 20, I was in college.
Okay.
And the way we set it up was we got the college to basically fund us, so they paid to let us have comedy shows every once in a while. And then they would film them.
Yeah.
And then they would post them online.
Sure.
So what wound up happening was, no one looked this up, but there's a video the very first time I did stand up on YouTube. Can't take it down.
Oh boy,
and it's horrible. But no one will ever find it. There is a video of me from, like, 2010 that I can't get taken down either. And it's not necessarily, it's not bad. I'm not doing anything like crazy or messed up, but it's just not a good video. And they named it last, like for whatever reason, like the university's last comic standing or something, which you can't do, but they did.
Right.
And so when people looked me up, there's a video that says last comic standing and everyone hits it. And it's just like a weird auditorium with like me doing like, I'm like, you know, a year or two in, just being terrible. There was one video I was able to get taken down, which thank God, because I was in like a weird phase where I was just really, you know, you probably dropped the F-bomb like 13 times
in the first minute.
And it was just very raunchy.
You're in that, you get that blue phase.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that one wasn't through the school. Someone of my friends had taken that one, or someone I knew, and I got booked to do a theater gig, and the owner, when I got there, like pulled me aside and was like, here's the deal. I just want you to know you almost didn't get this gig because I looked you up and I saw that video and I watched it and I thought I couldn't have this guy.
But then
I realized it was from like, you know, 5 years ago and
right.
I checked again. But you might want to get that taken down kind of thing, which,
yeah.
You know, that looking back, that wasn't like it wasn't that big of a deal, but at the moment I was like panicking. I was like
sure.
On my phone immediately trying to figure out how to get it taken down, and
yeah.
It took me probably a month, and I finally contacted someone. By the way, YouTube, I've had lawyer, like I have a friend who's a lawyer, so it's not like I actually paid anyone to do it, but I had a legitimate lawyer contact YouTube, like, hey, someone else put this up. It's the video of this guy. He doesn't want on there, blah, blah, blah. Here, like, it's affecting his livelihood, you know, all the reasons
right,
I could think
right.
of. And they were still just like, eh, blow us. Like, they just didn't care. Like, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do anything. You know, it's some account
God.
That someone put the video up, and that's the only video on their account, and
okay.
it hasn't been touched in, like, 5 years. And it's like, why wouldn't you just take it down? But they won't.
Yeah, you would figure the folks at YouTube could check, you know, the logins for that account. And if it's been dormant, let's just say, there's no reason why you couldn't just pull that down. And then if someone put up a stink and asked why, well, the individual you recorded said, you know, and their lawyer contacted us. So,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's,
that's weird.
But then again, I guess there's so much, there's probably so much crazy terrorism, racism, awful crap on YouTube that they're already dealing with.
Right.
And I'm like, excuse me. I don't particularly like the dick joke I was doing at the time. Would you mind taking this video? They're like, could you?
You should hear that joke now.
Yeah.
It's much more polished.
Yeah, you guys, let me show you. Can I send you a video? Can I send you a type 5? I think you'd really appreciate what I'm doing now. It's on another level, guys.
Right.
So maybe you would. Yeah, they're not. Yeah, they don't care. They don't care at all.
That is such a solid point of, like, you know, we're living in a time that's it's a little awkward. You know, who knows who's putting what, you know, sort of propaganda horse shit out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, somebody hates some other person, group, what have you. And then the little comic is, hey,
yeah,
any chance you could just take down my crappy set, because that'd be much appreciated.
Hey, I'm trying to get this gig. And it's, you know, it's a sweet Saturday gig is a thing. And yeah, there's just no chance. There's no
solid one nighter I'm working on. Could you try to get that old dick joke down for me? That's great.
So it's probably better they don't.
Right.
Yeah. At some day it'll be cute and I can find it and post it and be like, hey, this is the very first time. I never will, because it's hugely embarrassing.
Yeah.
Not even like the jokes I was doing, although those are terrible. But like, I think the person I was at like 19, I was like, oh God,
yeah,
it was bad.
And that's, yeah, there's another element too, to where, yeah, you could, as you age, as you have life experiences, you know, your take on things changes. So you're definitely going to have a different point of view as you sort of 19. Yeah. You grow up a little bit, and you know you experience different things. Your material is different.
You know what's crazy though, is so a while back when I was trying to move to Seattle originally, I was, you know, looking for jobs, and I had this this great approach where, because I wanted a job I could work alongside of stand up, so I would send like a resume, I would send a cover letter explaining my situation. Hey, I'm trying to do stand up, but I need a job
because sure.
I'm not making any money on
yeah.
it. And then I would send them a tape.
Okay, yeah.
I got taken out to lunch so many times.
Really?
None of these places wanted to hire me, but they're all just like, we just seem like you seem like an interesting dude. Which is a great approach.
Oh,
comics,
yes.
Just do it. If you've got a good tape, you can get so many lunches. But the weirdest one was, it was a job I hadn't actually sent them the video. I had applied I applied right out of college, and then they didn't accept my application. And then out of the blue, a year later, and at that point I'd already had a job. I was doing comedy and everything. And I get a message from these guys, and they're like, hey, we'd like to take you out to lunch to discuss possible job. So yeah, I don't care.
Great.
And so I go to this lunch place. I'm hanging out. I thought they were messing with me because I was hanging out there for like 30 minutes and no one showed. And then these five dudes just like burst into this restaurant, like, hey, there he is, just making a scene. I was so embarrassed, like grabbing waitresses, like, you see this guy? This is the guy. And I'm like, what the hell? Am I getting punked right now? And these guys all come over and they're like, we saw like one of your videos. We Googled you and saw a video of you online.
Jesus.
And they're like, and now we want you to work for us. I'm like, this doesn't seem like somewhere I want to work. Like, this seems like a very dangerous scenario. But it was like, it was the weirdest, and it was really weird because it was like it was an oil company, and they basically just they wanted to hire me, and they offered me a bunch of money, but they kept like telling me like how terrible everything was for like the environment. They're like, you might have read on that. It's totally true. We're screwing everything up. We're fucking it all
up.
But we're making so much money doing it. It's crazy. You wouldn't believe it. You got to get on with this. And it was one of those things where I was like, what? I mean, do you just assume I'm not going to have any moral objection to this? Like, you're just like, hey, this guy sucks. So he'd love to. He'll sell everything out for
money.
You're
a funny guy. Have some money.
I would have taken
the environment.
I would have taken the job too, but it was too far away from all the open mics. So I didn't want to make the commute.
That's a valid point, though. I mean, there's a fairly solid income, but that's not priority one. So no, I'm not going to do it.
Oh yeah, it was such a crazy thing. Because I mean, that was the thing. Is I got out of college and. So I got this crazy degree, but the thing with a degree like that is you have to go on and get like a graduate degree and a PhD if you want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you kind of get stuck in like the – it was funny because out of high school, working my way through college, I worked construction jobs. I worked as a longshoreman for a while.
Oh, okay.
And those kind of jobs are union jobs, and you're making like somewhere between $24, $26 an hour, which was crazy at the time,
right,
which is how I put myself through college. But
oh,
then,
that's awesome, though. Shoot.
Yeah, it was great. It was great at the time. But then I graduate, and the only job I can get now that I have this degree is for like $13 an hour. And they're like, well, you can work your way up. It'll take, 3 or 4 years. And I was like, in 3 or 4 years, I could be making a living doing stand-up or, trying to.
Well, right.
Yeah,
right.
Being on my way there. So then I just decided I'll get whatever – I had a few jobs that are kind of in between where I could like argue that like, yeah, it's still kind of science, but at this point I'm just like, nope, whatever I can do to keep telling jokes on stage, and that's what I want to do.
No, and it's amazing how that factors into it too, to where, trying to go at it full time, it's something, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I would absolutely do that. At this point, it would be very difficult.
Oh, it's so difficult.
But
and you think like, yeah, you always it's a constant thing with me. I'm like, well, I'm over this hill. And like, as soon as you're over a hill, you just like see the next one. You're like, ah, shit.
Yeah,
here it comes.
Here's another one. But I think with that said, I don't know of it. There's a handful, but very few. Okay, so maybe not even a handful. So if a handful is five, let's just say one of five may not have some sort of other source of income, let's say.
Yeah.
Whether it's, whether it's web development, perhaps, whether it's something. There's something coming in. You've got something guaranteed in a sense. But then those, Thursday through Sundays, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
And you're humping the road more or less, which I guess ideally, I suppose that maybe that would be swell. I mean, I work from home for a really decent company. So, for me, to travel, I mean, I've thought of this too, to travel, I can pretty much work from anywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that element of where I'm still scratching my head over that of like, okay, so how, but then how do I balance that, I guess? And that's per the individual, so that's a totally different topic. But no, it's interesting to where, Full time? To say that's your only main source of income, that's pretty rare.
It's very rare because it's almost impossible to do now. You talk to any of the old headliners and they'll tell you, yeah, you used to be able to make a living being a host at clubs, and now you know, as a feature, you can't really make a living as a feature. I mean, I've been working on it for a long time, and I do okay. But it's really just, for me, the only reason I can get away with as much as I do is, A, I do a lot of the corporate gigs alongside of, like, the club stuff and the other stuff. So I just...
That's
great. You know, there's a lot of comedians who say, I'm an alt comic, I'm a clean comic, blah, blah, blah. Do everything. Work for everyone, because there's not that much. So you have to do it all. And it's, you know, all of it's fun. If you're making it not fun, you're doing it wrong. Just have fun with it. Find a way. It's not, you know, there's things that aren't fun, but just try. You know, you're going to wind up in someone's basement in,
in Kentucky.
In Louisville. And, make it fun. But... And I do sometimes if I'm doing like the road a little more at some bars, they'll let me close it out, so I'll get paid a little more. So that's
cool.
Always like a nice little like, oh, okay, thank God, a little more money.
Yeah.
But the other thing is it's just a huge the way I'm doing it is kind of just like a crash course, and I do completely hope it works out, because I really like I told you I don't have an actual address. I'm having everything forwarded to my mom's place. I think all my stuff is in storage.
Yeah,
my buddy took over my lease, and I'm just out here because that's what I have to do, because I'm not, you know, it's not that I'm not making good money, but I'm not making enough to like pay for gas, travel expenses, and rent. So as and you know, relationships, forget about it. Like, sadly, you know, they come and go, but mostly they go, because
they go a lot.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. Like, hey, yeah, I like you a lot, but I'm going to be gone for like 3 months, so that's probably not cool with you. And it's always the same thing happens though. I was just talking to one of the female comics I work with a lot, and we were joking about it, because it's like the same thing that's happened the last three times I was in a relationship. It's like the girls, I always tell them, like, hey, I'm on the road a lot. I'll do my best, you know, but stand-up is what I'm, like, really trying to do right now.
Right.
And at first, they're always okay with it. And then, like, over time, you know, they're like, okay, actually, I'm not okay with it. And I was saying, like, yeah, it's like they don't realize. And then my friend was like, it's not that they don't realize what you're going to be doing. They know that. It's just that, like, everyone always thinks they're special, and then that's going to be like, but I'll change him. Like, I'm going to be, which when I heard that was heartbreaking, because I was like, oh my God, really? Like, you're completely right. That's what it is.
Right.
Is they're just slowly realizing that they just care more about the stupid, like, getting on stage and telling shit jokes than, like, having a human interaction, which is true. But, hey, we do what we can.
That's right. No, but... You touched on something that's always been interesting to me is the two of us talking about, you know, like relationships and then comedy, the female comics bringing it up, they deal with it just exactly the same,
mm-hmm.
and there's no difference on the, you know, so call that perhaps like the flip side of the coin. And I was talking to a female comic too. She said it's hard to even just want to even give a relationship a try, because you know it's not, you know, they're gonna wonder, like, well, she's never here, so, you know, if it's somebody that you know is, say, local from where you have an address, well, you may only be there 2 days a week.
Yeah,
so, you know, how is that gonna work long term? I talked to another female comedian once. This was about a year ago. She said,
you talk to a lot of them, seems like.
Yeah, seems like both of them.
Two? Wow.
Two, get the hell out of
Where
here.
Where are you finding them?
Where are you finding these chicks? She had a dude come with her like a 3-week deal and burned him out. Just burned him the F out. Just he couldn't handle it. Like, I like to travel, but he was so used to stability. Like, you go to work, you come home, you then go back to work, you have a couple days off, you do a little travel for vacation. He found that lifestyle was not going to be sort of his cup of tea.
Well, it's really, I think, and even now, like, I'm still learning more and more how hard it is. Like, I always For the record, I'm the type of guy, like, I literally think, you know, the astronauts, they put them into a room, an isolation room, and see if they can handle it. I think I would be a fucking champion at that shit. I am totally, you can put me in a room by myself, and I'll just walk in circles and, like, sing songs to myself, and I'll be fine. Like, I'm just a goofball like that.
Sure.
And I can just keep myself entertained. I've always been able to.
I've got a wide list of show tunes in my head. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Having conversations, and they're great conversations, too.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Oh, the best. No dumb shit's mucking it up, you know?
Mm-hmm. just me nobody on... chiming in when it's not their turn.
Yeah.
That's great.
All under my control. Okay. So, but it is, I mean, it's, and especially if you try to take someone with you, I would never, that's the huge thing with me is I can't see, I know comics that make relationships work, but I can never see, I just don't know how they do it because it's got to be, first of all, you can't take someone with you. Because it's hard enough to be out there when you have that carrot on the stick.
Right.
You know, you get to go up and do your favorite thing every night, and mm-hmm. that's what makes the rest of it bearable.
Right.
But if that's not what you're getting, it's terrible. There's no right. no stability, which doesn't sound like it might be that big of a problem. But when you are sleeping a different place every night, you're just not you can't sleep sometimes. Like, you're paying for a hotel, and then you just don't get to sleep all night because you have insomnia for whatever reason. Your body's just messed up from time
right.
zones. And,
yeah.
You know, you sleep in the car sometimes. I try not to do that anymore because I'm giant, so that sucks. you tell yourself it's not, it's funny. Yeah, you tell yourself this is temporary. I'm working towards a goal.
Right,
and then,
right.
But then again, I have a lot of friends that have been doing it for decades, and, you know, it very much is just what they do. And you either, I think, get acclimated to it or you burn out and you find something else to do.
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, I think the the individuals that are making relationships work, I've got two, I will call them two fairly decent friends. We've worked together a couple of times. We stay in touch quite a bit. Both married, kids. They're on the road a lot, and their wives have very solid day jobs. And perhaps perhaps it's just finding that proper individual that's able to balance that. I don't know. I guess that's the million-dollar question. I don't know.
I think the
because
money
I've got two individuals that I know are making it work, but for those two, there's another 98 that either go through crappy shit divorces, breakup after breakup, or just can never. Just as you said, I don't know how that would work. So I'm not really going to have that as an opportunity and just leave that be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
I said million-dollar question. I don't know.
But. I think if you're whoever's staying home, I think if they've got enough stuff going on, if they're making good money, the stability there helps a
right.
lot, I think.
Right.
But, it's just such a strain. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's still – I still say it. I'm giving the ladies credit here as far as just you and I being dudes. But I would give – it would take a pretty specially wired individual to be able to – work and balance that out is just, I guess, my thought.
But. And it's interesting, and it was a friend of mine, we were talking about this recently because they'd been kind of, I don't know if it was, I don't know where they got the information, but they kind of went around and they'd been talking to a lot of comics about, maybe it was a podcast or something, they were talking to a bunch of comics about working the road.
Yeah.
And what the general consensus was, because there's a bit of a stereotype of like comics going out on the road and sleeping around and stuff, which I'm sure happens. I think it's a lot less common than people think, because if you're doing the comedy clubs and stuff, it's all couples coming to see you, so unless it's like a
exactly.
weird, swinging couple in their 50s, they're like, we're trying to make this thing work. Other than that, you're not getting a lot of offers all the time.
How long you in town, son? Yeah. It's like, it's not good. That doesn't happen. It's
like
rare.
To get weird, Sonny? Okay. I've heard a lot of times... the sad thing is, I don't know if it's like the distrust or the fact that the spouse is gone a lot, but a lot of comics have told me, like, you got to watch out because if you are in a relationship with someone, actually more common that the person who's staying home is going to sleep with someone else than
right.
you, which, God, that's if you're like, if you're already on the road having a terrible time and you like have someone call you up and.
Yeah, you have that friend and say, I saw your So your wife with the neighbor dude?
Yeah.
You know, funny thing, you've had a pool repair truck in your driveway all week, and you people don't have a pool. So
I'll be paying him well, because he's working hard.
Cleaning them pipes.
Yeah.
God. I don't know. Yeah, I digress, I guess. But, yeah. But no, it is something that it is something that you think about.
Anyway, yeah. You know, good for the people who make it work. I think some people have great relationships.
Yeah. I said they're great, but yeah. You worked for a distillery, you said?
I did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was killer. It's one of, I've had a lot of crazy jobs. That's the fun thing about that degree, the biochem, is no one really knows what that means exactly.
Right.
So my approach to getting jobs since I got the degree is just I wander into a place that seems sciencey, and they ask me what I studied my degree, and I say, well, basically what you guys are doing here. And then they give me a job, and then I do terribly. And they're like, we like you, but yeah, you better step it up.
Thanks for sending that tape, by the way, too. Yeah. But, you know.
You're not as funny day to day, by the way. You're not as funny as we thought you would be. No, the distillery is great. It's called Two Bar Spirits in Seattle. It's one of my favorite bourbons. They make a really, really good bourbon whiskey. And they're growing. They're doing a lot of cool stuff.
That's awesome.
I hope I get to keep working with it when I get back in one way or another. Yeah. I just want to be a part of it because it's a really cool company. So if you're ever there, definitely go in for the tour. They do tours, and it's not like a big place. It's very small. Yeah. Washington has more distilleries than any of the states, so you can actually walk around all these distilleries and get a bunch of samples and get a little sloshed and check out a bunch of cool distilleries.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But, yeah, it's a really cool place. So I did that, and then this is a joke I didn't tell last night, but prior to that, I worked in animal research for like 9 months.
Really?
Before I crashed out. Yeah, I've got a whole joke about working with monkeys.
Oh God! Okay.
Yeah. It was a kind of a crazy deal. I was trying to get a job working in cancer research because I thought that's what I wanted to do for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
And then this company told me that I could do that, but they didn't have any positions open. But if I worked like with the animals for a while, it'd be easier for me to get one of those jobs kind of deal.
Yeah.
Sort of working in this job.
I know somebody who does that, but yeah. Okay, but
yeah, it was
go
the
ahead.
craziest shit of my life. you got about 5 minutes out of it, but
was it this company?
No, it was a different one.
Okay, I was just curious because
yeah, there's a few. This one was actually for profit, which. You should never work for a for-profit company like that.
It's like working for that oil company.
Oh, God, yeah. No,
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's thing is when you graduate with a science degree, it's very competitive.
Right.
So the people with like a better, I didn't have bad grades, but I didn't have the best grades. I struggled my way through.
Sure.
So, you know, the best stuff was going to the people who are going to grad school and like having that stuff. Hint, I was kind of just picking up whatever was left, which wound up being a bunch of companies that weren't great to work for.
Right.
Here's kind of a crazy story. I was trying to work for one company that was a really great medical tech company in Seattle, and they were really interested in having me for whatever reason. I don't know why, but they called me, they liked me, they wanted to have me, and I was supposed to have an interview on like a Tuesday, and then I went in to have the morning of the interview. I was getting ready, and then I was watching TV with my buddy, and that was when the Como news copter in Seattle crashed onto the street and it, like, pinned a car down. I think maybe two people died in
it.
And I got a call, and it was that company, and they said, here's the deal. That crashed right outside of our building, and one of the people who died in that was our HR person.
Oh, Jesus.
So we're going to have to get back to you. And what they wound up doing was they didn't hire anybody. They just hired from, like, within, and they got someone from, like, a different lab. So I totally missed out on that opportunity. But that, like, was a huge sign that was like, maybe don't do this. Maybe this isn't what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Maybe just forget about that dream and keep moving forward.
Right. Yeah. Just keep telling the dick jokes, I guess.
Yeah.
What else you got coming up then? You've been in the Midwest. You're gonna head back?
Yeah, I'm gonna head back eventually. I actually just kind of had a bit of a Kurt Wang where I thought I was gonna go through Texas to Arizona down to LA for a while.
Wow, okay.
Back up, but then I just had too many gigs fall out on the way, so it wasn't really gonna be. you know, I had money saved up for it, but I don't want to be like in the hole when I get home because I got to get a place. So, but yeah, now what I figure I'm going to do is I think I'm just going to, after this weekend, I'm going to go down to Nashville. My buddy is, I think, I don't know if he's graduating from med school, but he just finished, maybe it's just his last test for the year.
Okay.
This Sunday is his last test.
Wow.
So I'm going to go down and we're going to just drink tremendous amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
Hang out in Nashville. And I think I'm going to do some sets down there and just hang out.
Cool.
And then the next week I am going to be in Chicago. I'll be at the Rosemont Zanies.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm really excited for. I got to work the downtown one.
Downtown, you said, yeah.
Was incredible. Yeah. Oh, my God. Just such like an old school, cool club. Mm-hmm. Everything's set up. Oh, yeah. It was great. So I'm very excited to go back. And I get to work with Graham Elwood, which
yes, oh goodness,
is going to be really fun awesome. For me because I worked with him maybe when I was like a year or two in college. Okay. One of the guys I did stand up with got him and Chris Mancini, who's a friend of his, to come in, and they did a Comedy Film Nerds, which is their podcast.
Yeah,
they did a show, and then it was me and two other guys. Did spots before them.
Okay.
So I got to meet him then. So it's going to be kind of a trip, after, you know, like
right.
You know, 5 years later.
Yeah.
To kind of show up and be like, hey, remember me? And he'll be like, no, I don't. So, but
it's true.
I'm still excited to do that.
Oh, and then, that's good.
Yeah. And then I have my my first military gig. So I'm going to go down and do a military base in Dallas.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm really excited to do it.
Jesus, that's awesome.
Yeah, I work with there's a booker I work with who's been working on setting up a bunch of comedy shows to all these military bases.
Yeah.
And I just happen to be I just happen to work for her, and she usually I don't think I would have gotten this gig because I live in Seattle, but I told her I'll be down here, and she's like, oh, you want to come and do the show? And
that's
I was like,
awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I'm going to do that, and then drive up, and I think I'm going to do some stuff in Colorado, maybe a show in Wyoming, and then try to catch maybe something in Salt Lake City, and then maybe Idaho, but I'll probably just drive home. So that's okay. Kind of my route.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, not that any of that is important. I just did a little mental map in my head because my plans changed like 2 days ago, so I'm still trying to figure it out.
No, but that's a hell of a summer. I mean, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You're pretty much seeing the country
over
the course of the summer. That's badass.
Yeah, it was great. I'm really happy I got to do it, and I accomplished, I think, everything I was trying to do out here.
Kick ass.
I got into some clubs. I made a bunch of friends.
Yeah,
I plan on coming out and doing it again next year and doing it a little bigger maybe. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, God. I can't wait to have you come back, or maybe I'll come up by you. That'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd love to. I've never been. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest. I've been to California,
the Pacific Northwest, man, it's a completely different place.
I know.
It's awesome.
I know. I just everything I've heard, everyone I've talked to. I have a very good friend who. It's almost like an annual pilgrimage he does.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's him and his wife, but it just the photos, the stories, the things they see, and I'm just, you know, salivating with jealousy. Being like, God damn it, I want to do that. I want to do that. But then, you know, as you said, you know, lobbing a couple of sets, you know, to just enjoy your time, seeing things, but then, you know, doing what you like too. So
yeah.
Man.
Different, you know, it's interesting too because it's what I've kind of learned on this trip is, you know, different places, different audiences are a little bit different, but comedy is kind of the same everywhere. So it's like every town you go to.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
You see comedians in that town that remind you of the comedians
back
like
home.
When you, like, yeah. Yeah, this is like you're the that guy of here.
Yes,
so it's kind
exactly.
of funny. You see a lot of that. So it's comforting in a way because everywhere you go, you're like, oh, it's the same here. Like,
right.
It's all. Oh, yeah.
That's very well said. No, it's true. Where can people find you? Twitter, Facebook,
yeah,
stuff like
so,
that?
Yeah, so Twitter and Instagram, I'm Travis is Joking is the handle.
Nice.
And then you can find me on Facebook. It's just Travis Nelson. I have any kind of like special fan page or anything. So you can just find my personal page if you want.
Cool.
Eventually, I'll probably get harassed a bunch and have to make a fan page and hide
right.
my regular page from everyone. Hopefully that doesn't happen too soon.
Right.
My family is on there. Be nice.
That's right. But, be kind.
Yeah,
be
just, you know, gentle. Don't,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that's my website is travisnelsoncomedy.com if you want to check that out.
Cool.
I wouldn't recommend it. It's not specifically it's just my face, the calendar, stuff
that's
like
okay.
that. But yeah, if you want to see where I'll be at,
the calendar's important. That's
yeah.
the important thing.
Yeah.
Nothing flashy.
No.
Just yeah.
No.
You need to tell
just
where you're at.
Bare bones.
That's right.
A bio that doesn't make any sense.
Very little.
Yeah, here's a weird
at
thing.
At times.
I never know what to say when people ask me about credits. That's always a tough thing for me because I don't have – I've been working a while, and I have little credits that are like more local. They don't really make any sense anywhere else.
Sure.
I'm still kind of looking for that. Rooftop Comedy right now, I think they have a bunch of clips of me, but I'm looking for that thing that's going to kind of like make me stand out. But a weird thing that happened was I did a set with Bill Nye because he was coming in and my buddy was producing a show and he wanted to come in and he's filming a documentary called the Bill Nye Movie, I think.
Okay.
And they wanted to film him doing some stand-up because he started doing stand-up in Seattle before he did his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had me do some time in front and introduce him and they filmed it and they had me fill out a sheet. So that's one of those, a guy, I was just doing a show and a guy was asking me, I don't know how we got to talking about Bill Nye, but then I was like, oh yeah, I kind of remembered that happened.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I might be in his like documentary doing stand up. That would be really weird. And it wasn't like a particularly good set, by the way. So I kind of hope they cut it out.
Well, if you still have the intro of bringing Nye on stage, so be it.
Yeah.
That's still
yeah. I hope that happens. But maybe the Bill Nye Movie comes out and you're like, man, there's that weird, nervous guy introducing Bill Nye at this weird stand-up. That's me. So if you see that, yeah, that's Travis.
That's great. Yeah. I have to take a look for that, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah,
I'm going to see how terrible it looks. This can't be good.
Oh. Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's something
yeah.
to do. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
why
fun.
Not? And we'll hopefully we can do it again. And yeah, safe travels.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Everybody, check out Travis, where he's at, where he's going to be. And thanks again, sir.
Yep.
Hey there, this is Moidel Harrison. You're listening to You Don't Say. Also, check out my book, Just Because I'm Ugly Don't Mean I Don't Get Horny.
Hey, Ma, what's with the wash machine?
Listen, I told you. I've been watching my stories on it.